Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the worst idea of all time, season Emmanuel, the season of love.
The season of sex and sexuality.
Sensuality and sexuality.
Sensuality.
It's... My name is Tim Batt, and this is my associate, Guy Montgomery, and together what we do is we watch movies and we talk about them.
We are a couple of pornographic pioneers. Men with eyes bigger than their stomachs,
definitely.
As we traverse the back catalogue of soft core Emmanuel films.
If Emmanuel is on the tin, we'll watch it.
We'll drink it.
We'll drink it up.
We might not be thirsty.
No.
We might not like the flavour.
Mm-hmm.
But we have iron stomachs and we said we'd drink it.
We told you we would do it, so we're going to do it.
And so... we drink it.
Are you comfortable?
Physically?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
You?
I'm good. I've got a chair that kind of leans back. I'm on a cool, like, office-y rolly chair thing, and I can...
I do, yeah. I mean, this is happening in a new studio, so you probably didn't need to know that, but it does feel like a new configuration, and it does feel like I'm being interviewed, and
yeah.
You are big-timing me.
Because you are...
I'm in a small, lower stationary chair that forces me to sit upright.
Oh, God.
Tim is leaning back, sort of...
very cavalier.
Very cavalier, very confident, very relaxed, feet on the desk.
Yep.
And he wants to know what I bring to the company, what I was doing with the last 5 years of my life, and what I'm going to do with the next 5 years of my life.
So, in order?
I'm going to bring a good attitude every single day. The last 5 years, legally, I'm not allowed to talk about it. I'm under an NDA.
Mm-hmm.
But rest assured, everything's been settled now.
Okay.
And the less questions asked, the better. The next 5 years, I'm just going to be trying to put my past behind me.
Now, while I respect the judicial process and the, you know, legal strength of a non-disclosure agreement within this country,
that.
I must have some more details. I must pursue this a little bit further for our own risk assessment for this company.
Okay. Well, I can't tell you exactly what happened, but I understand.
Sure.
That bank had it coming.
A bank. It involved a bank, and you've done something to a bank.
No.
Okay.
You didn't hear that from me.
I see.
Why should the bank have all the money?
Okay. So you...
That's all I'll say.
It seems like you've released some interesting details considering this is an insurance company.
Yes.
In many ways, similar financial institution to a bank.
Would like to ensure that I am paid money by this company moving forward.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Guy, is it?
You can call me... are you French?
Oui.
Yeah, you can call me Guy. 5 years' time, probably different building, different interview.
What do you think about people who say, your job? When they get that question. What do you see yourself in 3 years? Your job, motherfucker.
That's it right there. I think that's fucking awesome.
It's a real litmus test for the manager you're talking to, I think.
Yeah.
You know? I think it's a cool thing to say regardless, but what you're really testing the water of is...
their sense of humor.
Yes. the person in front of you and how they respond to a gentle challenge from an ambitious young man.
I think putting the motherfucker on the end probably upgrades the challenge from gentle to aggressive.
Man, pulling that out in a job interview would be so awesome. It's a shame that job interviews are so high stakes because it's quite fertile ground for comedy.
Well,
you know, like if the stakes were like, because generally you're there because you need a job and it's quite important that you do well. And if you're at the interview stage, it already means you've crossed a few hurdles. So, you know, the stakes are even higher and you want to take very few risks. But if those things went in front of you, man, you could have a lot of fun fucking around.
Well, it's sort of, you know, maybe you're interviewing for multiple positions. You've found the one you want. You've taken it. You still have this other interview on the books. Instead of just wiping it, you could say, you know what? I'm going to have some fun with this.
What about a hidden camera show?
People,
and you're just interviewing for jobs.
You're interviewing for jobs.
Yeah, so you were actually like punking the people who are interviewing people for jobs. It's a bit of a, I think it changes the power dynamic.
So what do you,
so you walk in there and they're like, okay,
what can you bring to this company, et cetera, et cetera.
And you're like, guess what? Fuck you. And you're wearing like hidden GoPros and you're all mic'd up for a TV show.
It's a great show, Tim. It's called Fuck You. And it's just someone with 12 GoPros strapped to them walking into different offices and telling whoever is interviewing them, fuck you.
You remember that Simpsons episode where Homer's got the big gallon hat when he walks into the Quickie Mart, I think?
Yeah, and he's got the camera in it. Yeah.
And then he stomps on it because I think a poo tells him it sounds like there's a bee in there.
That would be a great Halloween costume if you could recreate the hat.
That would be good. Good times. Anyway, this movie. So we saw a movie called Emmanuel and the Sex Talk. Or maybe just Emmanuel, the Sex Talk.
Emmanuel, sure. Sex Talk. I thought...
Well, that's definitely in there.
Okay.
I don't know about the and.
I think it was sex, the talk. I thought it would be a parent and their teenage children sitting down to finally comb through the finer details of the birds and the bees. Mm-hmm. We're talking about erections. Mm-hmm. We're talking about adolescence, mm-hmm. menstruation. We're talking about safe
menstruation.
Sex.
Yep, okay. Yeah.
Talking about everything. Did you get the talk?
Can't remember getting it, but I think we got it very young. So like,
I've heard that's a technique,
a defining thing.
Yeah, really young. You tell them everything, and then
as a in utero.
Yeah,
yell it into the belly.
I think you tell them everything constantly.
Yeah.
So you start now, and you just keep going. You know, but I never got it. I remember one day I was home and my parents went there and there was a copy of a book called What's Happening to Me on the Edge of a Table.
Yeah.
And I combed through that. I can vividly remember
I think you've told the story recently.
An animated picture of an erection.
How to make you feel?
I was like, huh. I don't know. I don't know how it made me feel. And then there was a picture of a man and a woman lying down and hugging.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have been described in the book as a special mummy-daddy cuddle.
Just call it sex. Like, if you go into the trouble of writing the book to try and clear stuff up,
then why would you
further obscure it? You say mummy and daddy cuddle because you're, like, too embarrassed in the moment to tell the child about what the realities are. If you're writing the fucking book,
yeah,
stack up, dude. It's the point of the book.
I wrote the book on second. It sounds
there's a lot of commotion happening outside with Zoe versus Rufus by the sounds of it.
Well,
Zoe being my wife, Rufus being our lovely dog.
It seemed like it was bath time for Rufus.
I don't know if Rufus was on board.
Yeah, he didn't seem. He was trying to strike a deal where he got to bathe one of the members of the house in exchange.
Hey, so this movie sucks.
It's not about puberty and it's not about parents and their children going through the finer details of what happens to the human body and responsibility. It is actually about a woman named Dr. Brittany, a popular late night radio host who hosts a relationship and sex.
Kind of like Dan Savage.
Call in show.
But bad.
Savage Love Cast.
Exactly.
And basically, she fields calls from listeners and gives
is friends
them
with Emmanuel,
advice.
Of course.
Yes.
Now, this is the Emmanuel who we were first introduced to in Emmanuel and Dracula. Is that what it's called? Or Emmanuel versus Dracula?
Emmanuel versus Dracula.
That rules. It's very like Jason versus
Godzilla versus Kong.
Imagine Godzilla versus Freddy Krueger.
Ah. They're going to say Imagine Godzilla versus Emmanuel.
No, I don't want to see that movie.
Neither. And yeah, she's friends with Emmanuel. And while she is the sort of most prominent, popular, and world-leading sexpert on the US radio waves, she often defers to and respects the opinion of Emmanuel, has her on a pedestal higher than even her own. There are also some ancillary characters who are friends who are going through various different...
Friends of Emmanuel?
Friends of Emmanuel who are like... There's no... Aside from the fact that there's a radio talk show host and a radio show that is a setup for a lot of the different sex scenes in this movie, there's no through line. There's not a lot of connective tissue.
This movie's got it all. Nymphs.
Yeah, it did have nymphs.
Threesomes.
It did have threesomes.
Visible vagina.
It did have visible vagina. It did not have visible penis.
You got so close, though.
When is the penis going to get its day in the sun?
When are we going to see it?
When are we going to see just a man fully erect?
I actually think we will see it before long.
With a regular sundial of a cock.
Because these Emmanuel films, as we go further in time, I believe this was released in 04. They're getting more explicit.
I think it might have been earlier.
Oh, just a lot of commotion out there. What kind of circa what do you think?
I think 2000 or 2001, because I feel like early on when we were establishing through a variety of stock footage of
you didn't see
cities in America.
No way you saw them.
I think I saw the
I think you saw some buildings in Chicago.
I'm going to look it up.
I want you to go back to the...
Oh, wait. We got the credits on. Maybe I'll just run them to the end and then we can see the copyright year. Is that the thing that they put on?
I guess so.
Just to bring you up to speed, the lead scene was Rochelle Ebert.
Whenever people read out credits, it always reminds me of the old Whose Line Is It Anyway? It was never a funny part of the show. Romanian crew. Some of this was shot in Romania.
You do that for the tech.
Some of this was
Brazil.
Shot in Brazil.
What the fuck?
We're learning a lot.
Why do they always make these terrible films such huge, sprawling international...
2003.
There we go.
You show me the stock footage at the start of the film.
The jury rests, Your Honor. There's no way that you would release a movie 2 years after 9/11 with the Twin Towers in, for God's sake.
They cancelled
Spider-Man and put it back in the oven to digitally remove them.
Not all movies made after 2001 are set after 2001, Tim. This movie could be set in a year... 2000.
So no one told you life was gonna be this way. They were set in New York, eh? Friends.
Famously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really famously.
It was really hard to follow the storyline of this movie, man.
Well,
there was a letter that Emmanuel got, which was from a man saying goodbye to her. And that was like, for some reason, the sort of persistent, mysterious thread that they would... It like got set up very early and then they would ignore it for ages and then come back to it later. The most interesting one I thought was the relationship between the man and the woman. Don't know either of their names. Maybe the guy's Matt, who had just started exploring her feelings for
woman.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah. That was one of the first scenes of the film, was there's a redheaded woman who we were led to assume was the talk show radio host, but was
not. We got a redheaded woman.
And she was getting a massage from Emmanuel, and they were talking to one another about sex and sexuality, and Emmanuel regaled the red-headed woman with an incredible anecdote about two young women who are friends who went for a walk in the forest and lay out a picnic mat and
fucked with their Nikes on.
Yes.
It was really
gross.
Their Air Maxes on. I don't know. It was something about the way it was shot and recorded the sound as well.
And like, also,
it was I didn't like it.
Also retold by Emmanuel.
I didn't like it.
I didn't love it either. But basically, Emmanuel got this redheaded woman all het up about this story about two women making love. And then her and the redheaded woman proceeded to make love. Mm. And Matt, the redheaded woman's boyfriend, came home and was watching and was turned on by it. And
yeah, I guess that was
the redheaded woman was like, hey, don't watch me cheat on you with this woman.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it was like, all right,
there wasn't a lot of clarity around it, but basically it set up this ongoing thread where she wanted to explore her sexuality and he wanted to be there for it as well.
Yes. And then, no, but that it was kind of, I don't know, I thought it was kind of cool how they handled it. They had some talks in the kitchen.
Yeah, that is
listen,
good to talk.
Considering the very low bar that Emmanuel sets, I thought it was the best bit of the movie. Them trying to negotiate and navigate this new phase of their relationship, because she didn't know that she was, I'm presuming, bisexual, because she still was like with the dude and seemed into him. And had just discovered that she had these sexual feelings for women, and then decided to fuck around and find out with her aerobics instructor, Amy, and invited him to come along, but he was not. This was so good. Real good, clear boundary setting. She was like, I'm going to go fuck around with Amy. You can come, but you may not touch.
No talking, no touching. And you sit in the corner of the room.
He was in equal measures excited and then a bit disappointed that he couldn't participate. And then, in what I thought was the greatest comic moment of the film, on the fly offered to bring a video camera, because technically that wasn't interfering in the action. Which I thought was so funny. But then,
wouldn't you
he
know
got
it?
His end off anyway.
Yeah, he got his end away. They got excited, and then eventually they were like, do you know who we should bring into this situation?
The man standing
that man sitting in the corner. Yeah. And all of the other sex scenes in this movie are just basically the way that the talkback radio show worked was this woman sat down and said, hi, I'm Dr. Brittany. I'm a relationship expert. And then people would call in and tell her about times they had sex. Yes. And she would not interfere. She would just silently listen. And the visual,
she'd kind of goad them for more details. Yeah, she'd be like, tell us everything.
And then she'd kick back in her seat, and these listeners, these ordinary folks like you or I, mm-hmm. would tell their stories. And then the radio show would finish, and her producer would say, great show. And she'd say, I've got to go to bed.
So then the weirdest bit of this movie was that kind of disturbing, I'd say the most disturbing part. So she starts getting these the Brittany, the radio show host, she starts getting these phone calls.
On her private phone.
Private phone from
and
someone
she puts a lot of her life on the line, this woman does.
Out into the public arena.
And you know, to the point that I think some people feel a degree of ownership over her, even though she's just doing her job. And
Brittany has, unbeknownst to her, established some parasocial relationships with her listeners.
Yes.
They are obviously one-sided, because that is how the broadcast medium of radio works.
Thanks.
Admittedly, talkback's slightly different, but not much. So this dude.
Also, for a talkback radio station, surprisingly few calls from people with complaints about the state of things,
mm-hmm.
about
this government. This I'm a government. Taxpayer.
Yeah.
Something about immigrants.
Yeah, immigration law.
What else are the go-tos?
Same-sex relationships.
Just being over 70 and somehow operating a telephone enough to ring into the show.
Yeah, incredible.
That's not fair. There's lots of smart people over 70.
They almost exclusively fielded calls from people, beautiful people in their mid-20s who were exploring.
Well, I think they're actually pretty light on cast, so I'm pretty sure if you're in one of the sex scenes, you also had to voice a call-in character.
But you 100% did.
But I'm pretty sure she was talking to herself in one of them, and they just very subtly changed her voice.
For balance, even if it wasn't someone making a traditional talkback radio call, I would have liked to hear like someone call up and gripes. Tell a hilarious anecdote about when they masturbated once it went wrong.
Yeah.
Just for balance, a few calls from people being like, oh, this really embarrassing thing happened.
This movie still had and I've forgotten his name, the guy who went on to do like all the comedy shows, the sitcoms and stuff, the guy who did all the Emmanuel in Spaces, that's what we would be treated to.
Yeah.
We definitely would have had some funny ass calls. But anyway.
It's funny, like there's not a lot of room for comedy in sex.
But there can be. That's the beautiful. I felt like that guy found some great comedy. I said this out loud while the movie was playing. I yearn for Emmanuel in Space. It was good. I didn't know how good we had it at the time.
Nah, you don't.
So
don't it always seem to go that you're not aware of what you have until after the fact? They paved a beautiful place and built somewhere for people to place their vehicles.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
She starts getting these phone calls, and it's from a pretty sinister-sounding guy.
Yeah.
Who starts?
He goes like, "What do you think about secret admirers?"
She's like, No, you were taking a piss. You don't even fucking know this bit.
Oh, is it a crime? Is it a crime to take a piss now? Do I break a law?
He rang her on her cell phone. Is that right? Yep, that's right. There are cell phones in this movie, which is, it's weird to mention, but this is kind of a crossover point. 03, they're just starting to become very ubiquitous. 03,
but remember, set in 2000.
I dispute that fact. He's like, "I'm your secret admirer." What else does he say to her? I don't know, just some bullshit. But it's a real sinister tone. And then he's like, "Hey, we should meet up." And it's like, this guy's obviously a fucking murderer. Clearly he's a murderer. They've even got a slightly sinister soundtrack playing underneath.
Basically, a guy keeps pestering her.
He rings on the radio show and he's like, "Yo, we're going to meet up? What's the deal?" And she's like,
"I don't know about
probably
this.
Not." And then she talks to Emmanuel, and Emmanuel,
someone whose
like,
opinion she greatly respects.
And this is someone who's set up in the movie and the wider franchise to be a fountain of wisdom, knowledge, intuition, good judgment. And so she puts this situation to Emmanuel, and Emmanuel is instantly like, "You should fully meet up with this guy. How exciting. What an adventure." And I'm sitting here yelling at the screen, trying to avoid this poor broadcaster from getting murdered. You know, does she listen to me? No, it's a screen. It was recorded in possibly 2000. It's not going to work. So she ends up meeting up with this guy, having very explicit, I would say, for Emmanuel, sex in an alleyway.
Before we get, it's important to provide a little bit of extra context. So she finishes the radio show, and her producer goes, "You want to get a drink?" And she goes, "No." And he goes, "Hot date?" She goes, "I don't know." And then she walks to the pre-agreed street corner, and the secret admirer, in an incredibly sinister mood, presumably, was like, "By the way, when we meet, no talking. We've talked enough." And you think, no, because you don't know each other. You've barely spoken at all. And she arrives at a street corner, which is in front of an alleyway, and there's a sort of handsome guy down the far dark end of the alleyway who gives her the eyebrows, and she sort of goes, okay. And then, as detailed by Tim, they have quite explicit alleyway sex.
And like a couple of stray cats.
That's right. And then they finish, and he just goes through the door behind him. And then the producer, the aforementioned producer, shows up, and he's like, "Sorry, I'm late." And Emmanuel says, not Emmanuel, sorry, the talk show host, Brittany, says, "Huh?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm late." She goes, "You're the secret admirer." And he goes,
"Truly? This is a Shakespearean turn."
He goes, "Yeah." And she goes, "Well, who was..." He's like, "What? Who was who?" And she goes, "Ah, don't worry about it." And then he says, "Well, we've already broken the no talking rule. What do you want to do?" "I was thinking coffee and breakfast."
Which I had to ask Guy a few times that we'd heard the same line, because it didn't make any sense to me. Do you think he was using it in that way of like a pickup line? You know, you go to a bar and you're like, "Hey, can I buy you a drink and make you breakfast?"
I don't know. All I know is it's midnight and this guy's set up a date where he's not allowed to talk to the person he's on a date with, and he's asked her to his house for coffee and breakfast.
I figured they were going to a coffee
no,
house.
No, she says, where? And he goes, my place.
Oh, man.
Anyway, everyone survives.
That's a plus.
And actually, it looked like everyone got their end away, which is fantastic news.
Yeah, I guess so.
Everyone but Tim and Guy.
Well, and the nymphs. Yeah, they didn't see any action. Because Emmanuel told people about the nymphs, and then people didn't believe her. But then we got to meet them.
Yeah, Emmanuel.
And they were the only people of colour that I've seen in the franchise recently. Certainly in this film.
Emmanuel keeps having dreams, and these nymphs show up. And there's sort of this supernatural quality to Emmanuel. Everyone else seems to be living in reality, and she kind of transcends like reality in a slightly sort of...
Also, I've got to say, this current Emmanuel we're dealing with...
Can't act.
Fuck, man, she's bad.
She's Dutch.
She's Dutch, and
she's
she can't
gorgeous,
act.
And she cannot act.
Let me introduce you to Emmanuel. She's young, she's hot, she's Dutch, and she cannot act.
Not to save herself. But we don't begrudge her that.
No, but I feel like they figured it out in Emmanuel vs. Dracula because she was barely in it. You remember that? Mm. They really like tucked her away in the movie. Scant number of lines.
She kind of got tucked away in this one too.
Like, well, not as much
Brittany
though.
Brittany was the lead. The talk That's show true. Radio host was the lead.
And then we had a redheaded woman whose name I don't know who you know.
Was also
she got more screen time than Emmanuel.
1B and Emmanuel
was
probably 1C.
They were both quite good, I thought, at acting. Mm. You know, they were serviceable.
I was so bored, man.
Yeah, it was a pretty boring movie.
Porn is boring. These pornos are boring.
These pornos are boring me. That's me being Guy. Mm. Mom, this porno's boring. Mom, this porn's boring.
Shut up and watch your porno.
I'll take it away from you.
Mom, this porn, I don't want to watch any more of the porno.
Pretty wild though. I don't understand all the like countries involved. Do you think there is crazy financial shit going on here? Is this like, this feels like fraud somehow. You know what I mean? I just don't know exactly how it works. So I guess you've got a lot of, you're like, hey, my name's Elaine Stravinsky. Is that how you say it?
Suditsky.
And I am, you know, I've got this whole back catalog of Emmanuel films. That, according to my conversation I'm having you with right now, are very successful, financially very successful. So I'm going to need you to give me some money to finance this next one. Gorgeous woman, shot on location, experienced crew, I know what
yada,
I'm doing.
Yada, yada.
You get your money back, you know, threefold, whatever the fuck it is. So then, like, what's the grift? You know, like, where are you stealing money? Do you just steal it from the investors, maybe?
I think everything's above board. The only fraudulent thing I'm noticing, Tim, is I've watched over 30 pornos now and have not gotten single bonotten.
Oh, well, this doesn't feel like a conversation for us. This feels like a conversation for a special guest. Hello. Hello?
Hello!
Oh, wow. Hi.
Boner Inspector!
Probably back off that ear that's in front of your mouth, but thank you. Hi.
Oh, what seems to be the problem?
Just blowing out my ear hole.
Oh, yes. With?
Your volume.
Oh, I thought perhaps a giant boner had been bestowed upon you.
Ah, that too. That is, you are uncomfortably close.
Describe for me the details of your appendage.
Mine or yours?
Either or.
Well, I mean, yours is right in my field of view right now.
For that, somewhat, I apologize.
Somewhat inescapable. And I appreciate the apology. I genuinely do. But at the end of the day, you've cop-knocked my door. Like, I thought a police officer was coming in.
Well, in many ways, I am a police officer.
Well, I guess that's true.
A police officer of sex.
the best kind. Your appendage I would describe as stomach churningly
please,
vast.
Please, please, please. No.
Okay. Vascular? Is that a word I can use?
It is wide and veiny.
Anywho's, it's been a minute. How are you? I make you a cuppa? A cup of tea?
Wish you would.
Okay,
wish
let me,
you
I'll
would.
Put the jug on for you, mate. What's been happening in your world, Boner Inspector?
Well, since you boys haven't been watching as many pornos lately, I've been traipsing from place to place, hoping to stumble upon something in a park or a, I don't know, anywhere.
This is an interesting question I never thought to ask before. Are you, like, ethereal? Or, you know, like, are you a ghost? Or do you have corporeal form? Like, is everyone on board? Can I... You're here, right? Physically?
I'm physically here, yes.
Okay.
And if you were to ask someone into the room, they too would see me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I travel from place to place, I'm not visible to all.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, there he is.
Wow. Owen Wilson?
Now, Owen Wilson's here as well.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I got a... Got a big boner.
Holy shit.
Fantastic. I'll write you up a ticket.
Wait, hold on. Boner inspector. Is the ticket a positive thing or is it like a speeding ticket?
It's kind of both. It's kind of both.
Okay, gotcha. It's kind of both. So it's like it's a positive thing, but we need the documentation. Is Owen Wilson going to get fined?
No, not at all. He'll get rewarded.
Oh, fantastic. That's so good. How do you feel about that, Owen Wilson?
Wow. Really good.
It's so cool to have you here. I don't know how long I can keep you for. Because I know you're a really busy dude. Do you want to stick around, Owen?
I gotta go.
Okay, cool, man. That's all good. I understand. I'll see you later. It's nice to meet you. Owen Wilson, the man's a legend. A legend.
So basically the ticket he has is valid for one... Gobby.
Oh, one gob. Okay, so you find someone with an erection and they get a ticket to redeem where exactly?
There's
another person.
There's a room.
There's a room?
The boner removal room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's where you get your blowjob from.
Where you can
from.
Redeem your boners.
I see.
Anyway, anything to talk of?
No. I feel like we should get you out of the room, to be honest.
You don't like my energy?
No, I think...
Too sinister for you?
No, it's not that.
It's fine.
Guy and I have just got some catching up to do as well, so please don't take it personally.
I'd have you stay for as long as you want.
Oh, really? Are you cool with him being?
Oh, well, if it's okay with you...
All right, I'll pour the tea then.
Is that okay with you?
Me? Tim? Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'll get you... Look, I'll just get you a cup of tea for a second. Guy, do you want to ask the boner inspector anything?
Who introduced the ticketing system?
Oh, that was my initiative. All of this is my initiative.
Wait, so the room, the redemption room?
Yeah, that's me too.
When did you create it? And here's your tea, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yep, that's what a teacup sounds like. When did you come up with all of this?
In utero.
Wow.
Yes.
That's incredible. And you can remember that, huh?
Vividly.
So you're like, I mean, I was tending towards ghost, but it almost seems like you've got superhuman, maybe like mutant abilities.
I'm trapped between many worlds, and the one thing that tethers me to all of them is a fascination and an appetite for boners.
Interesting. Have you ever seen The Butterfly Effect?
Yes, horrible movie. Not a boner to speak of.
Yeah, I guess that was the big takeaway from that film.
Yes.
Didn't
see a boner, and most importantly, didn't get a boner.
Okay.
You know they made different endings for that movie.
I did hear that. And didn't they actually screen different endings as well?
I think they did.
Yeah, that's wild.
Well, it's kind of in keeping with the premise.
Yeah, exactly. I guess that's why they did it. But I haven't heard of any other movie doing that, except for like test screenings to figure out what they want to run with.
You don't hear a lot from Ashton Kutcher on screen these days.
Well, funnily enough, it's because he's like a great humanitarian. He's doing really good work on people trafficking.
I mean,
shutting it down rather than doing it. You know,
well,
you never know with these Hollywood types.
I was on Netflix the other day and I was looking for a movie under the genre of sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the options was Dude, Where's My Car?
Huh. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen that movie, but wasn't that just about a guy who gets too stoned to figure out where he parked?
Big time.
Huh.
Anyway, no boners there either.
Yeah, you must fucking hate these Emmanuel movies. I don't know if you've seen them, but like Guy and I have watched 30-something, 30,
32,
almost 40, I'd say.
What? Maybe. Feels like
yes,
something in there. Anyway, not a single boner on these films that claim to be pornos.
Not even in silhouette?
Not from memory, no.
Well, maybe when you finish recording, I could hang around and show you some websites.
Oh, I don't. We're not looking. I mean, you're looking for boners.
Yes.
We're on a different path.
Oh.
We're doing a different thing over here.
I was going to show you clickhole.com. Sort of like a BuzzFeed satirical website. It's very funny.
Mm-hmm. It's not boners on there.
No, no.
Oh, okay. It was just to share a bit of humor, a bit of...
Yeah, yeah. I feel like content. I'm really getting to know you guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good.
You're right, I'd better get to the boner redemption room.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Owen Wilson's going to be there any second
right,
now.
Right, that sounds good, man. Good to see you. See ya. Okay, catch you. Enjoy that rest of your tea.
That guy.
That fucking dude, man.
Man, he does not live a good life.
I don't think he does, but he's kind of built it for himself, you know, so he's got to figure this out. Boner Inspector built this prison, and Boner Inspector must prison break if he wants to get out of there.
This prison.
Exactly. Haven't heard from George Lazenby in a hot minute. Don't know if we will. Don't know.
Mm. I do wonder how that guy's doing. Someone sent us a photo of him recently. It looked
really?
He was in, yeah. It looked like he was in good shape.
Awesome.
Which isn't surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a Bond.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them are dead, though.
Yeah.
Wait, only one, I think. Wait, Roger Moore. I'm pretty sure Roger Moore's dead as well. Don't know.
Tell you who's doing great.
Who's that? Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
Fuck
you. You get the feeling.
Fuck yeah, brother.
How did somebody say Pierce Brosnan?
Oh. Okay. Hi, George. You really snuck up on us there.
I was in the cupboard.
Have you been in the cupboard this whole time?
Yeah.
Fuck me. Can I get you a glass of water? Because we have not...
Well, you offered the other guy a cup of tea.
You can have a cup of tea if you want. I just feel like you might need some hydration if you've been in a cupboard for this amount of time.
Please.
It's been a moment before drinks. Man, I can see the colour returning to your cheeks as you're gobbling down that hydrogen and oxide, whatever it's called.
Even for the world's greatest listener.
Yeah.
Hearing you guys prattle on with that boner inspector is enough to drive a man wild.
Oh, come on, man. We were just, you know, entertaining an old friend, having him over.
I was tempted to just poke the very tip of my boner out the corner of the room.
Really? Just to show him?
Just to alert him.
Alert him to your presence.
Yes.
Hey, George, can I tell you about this film we just watched?
I'd rather you tell me about a film you'd like me to watch.
Okay, here it is. It is about a woman radio host, if you can believe it.
Sounds good.
Now, her job is to listen to...
Oh, a listener.
Yes.
Woman after my own heart.
She is both a broadcaster and a listener, like you.
I'm an actor and a listener.
That's true.
You know they say acting isn't acting, it's reacting.
I have heard that. You're a subscriber to that?
No.
Oh. You've just heard it.
Yeah, yeah. I hear people saying it.
Mm-hmm.
People are always talking about learning lines as well.
Not for you?
No, no. I do lines and I act.
Nice. I've been meaning to ask you, actually. There's a line in On Her Majesty's Secret Service that I always wondered if it was an ad-lib from you or if it was written on the page.
Go ahead.
I
know that I ad-libbed every line in that film.
You say, and I from memory, I haven't watched this in years and years, but you might even like look to the camera a little bit as you're doing this.
They hated when I do that.
The line was, this never happened to the other guy.
Mm.
I think it was after your character's wife died.
Yeah. Ad lib.
That was you.
That was me.
Fuck. It's a real, it's, you know, memorable.
It was all me. So tell me about this woman who listens.
So she's got a job where every night, 7 days a week, she gets on the wireless, sits in her chair, and for 2 hours she hears the most sexually explicit stories from her listener base.
Mm.
It's a syndicated show.
She's
drawing stories from 22 of the most popular cities in America. I'm talking NYC.
Mm.
Angeles, Chicago, the other ones. And one night she gets a very sexually explicit story from an elderly man.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds old. You can tell by his voice that he's a very old man.
Like me?
I wouldn't describe you as elderly. You know, I think you're a distinguished gentleman.
Young at heart, but exactly. Does his voice sound like mine?
No, older.
Oh.
Yeah, older.
Oh.
Yeah. So he rings in with the... I'm not going to get into the details right now, but...
Because it's lewd.
It is lewd in the extreme, George Lazenby.
It's lewd, it's crude. This is downright nasty.
This is some rough stuff.
Oh.
And we get a lot of details delivered from the voice of a man who sounds impossibly advanced in his years. Now, the interesting thing is, as the story's going on, our main character, the listener slash broadcaster slash sex therapist radio host, she sort of has this interesting expression on her face, which doesn't make a lot of sense to us, the viewer at the time, because she's heard it all. Truly she has. I mean, admittedly, this man is very old and this story is very explicit.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you'd think she would be a little desensitized to this stuff. But she, as the details tumble out of this guy's mouth, she gets sort of more and more alarmed. And then her face sort of contorts in these quite sort of disturbed, horrifying reactions to it. She ends the call professionally, goes to an ad break, turns the talkback button on to communicate to her producer, who's in a separate booth, and reveals that the reason she's so shaken is because this elderly man has, to the minute detail, described a sexual experience she was a part of 2 weeks prior.
Wow.
She's shaken by the fact that she has, unbeknownst to her, now seemingly had sex with an incredibly old man.
Maybe he's just got an old voice and a young body.
It's possible. But the interesting thing is, 2 weeks prior, when she was involved in this sexual experience, which seems to line up exactly to the T to this tale that the old man was telling, she was at a masquerade ball.
Oh.
So there was a bit of opportunity for leaving some things to
anonymous,
the imagination.
Eyes wide shut style.
You've
stuff.
Got it. Yeah,
maybe exactly. She fucked Tom Cruise.
It's possible, but it's also possible that she fucked an incredibly old man.
I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
A bit of you?
Yeah. Okay. I like the mystery.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And I like Tom Cruise.
Great. I mean, yeah, we can put him in.
Yeah, great. Let's make it.
Okay, excellent. Well, good to see you, buddy.
I'm going to write you out a check for how much can it cost to make a movie these days? $200?
What year do you think it is?
You got it. I'll see you later.
Bye, George. Gutted. Fuck, man. He doesn't greenlight a lot of projects, and he does not understand what a film costs.
Yeah. He just went back into that cupboard.
Yeah, he did not leave. I don't know if he can hear us, but then again, it is kind of his thing.
I think this movie was not offensively bad, but it was boring.
Yeah.
And it was plain.
Plain.
It was plain. I'd like to not watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to give it no thumbs up. Zero thumbs.
Okay. Can I ask you to select two words from the English language to describe this film to sum it all up?
Plodding. Naughty.
Thank you very much, Guy. We'll see you in the next episode where we'll be tackling another Emmanuel film.
Yeah.
Can I just acknowledge and thank all of our Patreon supporters?
Yeah.
Who are keeping us going, truly.
Yeah.
On there you can get some bonus content. Some of it's excellent. Some of it is a podcast series called Killionaire, where we are planning how to murder the richest person in the world.
Yeah.
A person who shall remain nameless. But on this, the public podcast
is about to go to space. And there's a lot of people about to go to space, so it could be anyone. They sell books.
We got a link in the episode description if you want to join us on there. But thank you very much for listening. George Lazenby.
Boner Inspector.
Guy Montgomery. Tim Batt, that's me.
Rufus, Zoe, the people of Sandringham.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to go. I've actually got to go. Yeah, I've got a meeting in half an hour, so.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.